This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
This is Mary Grady for AvWeb, and today I'm talking with Kent Lovelace. He's the chair of the Aviation Department at the University of North Dakota, and he and a bunch of other experts recently finished up work on a project to analyze the pilot employment picture. And they're trying to figure out if there's a pilot shortage in the works, and if there is, what are the factors that are driving it, and maybe what can be done about it. So, Kent, thanks for talking to us. And a major question here is the impact of the 1,500-hour rule, which has been floating around for a while, but now it's due to take effect in August. And this requires, of course, that any pilot hired by a regional carrier needs to have an ATP. And I guess in your work, you're seeing that this is already having an effect?
It's having an effect in two ways. One, it's affecting the regional carriers, the regional airlines carriers, and the 135, some 135 operators, in the sense that the usable applications that they may have on file, or people that are applying, if they're not close to that ATP rule minimum, the 1,500 hours, that they can't interview them and henceforth can't hire them. So their applicant pool has shrunk over these last few months, to where some carriers, you know, the usable applications they have on file are virtually nil. That's one implication of it. That's more of an immediate short term. Secondary effect of the rule is, and I'm not debating the plus or minus the rule. The rule is what it is. It's public law, so be it. But the other implication of it is that it's dissuaded some young people from continuing to pursue flying for an airline and pursuing an airline career. Some of the surveying that we've done indicated that 8.32% of those that responded to the survey, and there was over 1,600 respondents, they indicated that because of that rule, they had rethought the idea of an airline career and had abandoned that. Doesn't mean they can't be won back later, obviously, but it's already had that effect from a long-term standpoint. The same survey also indicated that 32% of the respondents were rethinking the idea of an airline career because of that particular public law.
This law is due to take effect in August, whether or not the FAA does anything, right? And so the regionals are having to move on that assumption.
Correct. Yep. That's what they started actually about a year ago, the amount of flight hours that they needed for an applicant to have was steadily rising based on looking on the footprints, training footprints of preparing the individual for flying for the airline. And then the idea that initially they're usually on a reserve, they hold a reserve line or a reserve status, so they don't fly 80, 90 hours a month, but maybe half of that. So to project, you know, that person forward so that by August of this year, you know, they'd be ATP qualified and could be eligible to take an ATP check. Mm-hmm. So those hours have been steadily rising over the last year or so. And with that, there's been a constriction of available applications on file to them that are usable that they can look at. All of them, well, I shouldn't say all of them, that's not fair. There's been several that have reported at conferences that at some points their usable applications were actually zero at different dates. There just wasn't enough on file. But They're also indicating higher no-show rates for class, higher no-show rates for interviews, those kinds of things. They're hiring fewer. One carrier reported, as an example, year and a half ago, they hired 53% of those they interviewed. That's down to 38%. So the pool, not only is the pool shrinking, but, you know, perhaps at least, and it may be on a short-term basis, the quality of the pool is declining also.
Oh, okay. And from the viewpoint of a student who's trying to make a career choice, they're looking at maybe an extra year of working as a CFI to build that time.
Perhaps a year or two, depending upon, you know, where they're instructing on. So I think that's probably the negative impact of it. You know, if you were to turn the clock back 15 years, or so, nobody would get hired by a regional airline unless they had 1,500 hours or more. And then as we went into the late 90s and early 2000s, and with the interruption of 9/11, and then the mid-2000s, the amount of flight time a person needed to be competitive to get hired by a regional airline shrunk dramatically to where it was just a few hundred hours. And so there's that perhaps more recent change that's weighing in on their perceptions, and that in the past, their past, their only known past, is it took less time to get there, and now it's going to take more, and that's a negative, you know, creates a negative perception on career preparation and so forth.
Now, are the regionals already looking at changes they could make to help address the situation?
Some of them have started to, actually, to their credit, Cape Air Airlines, teaming with JetBlue, created a gateway program where somebody was, an individual was selected in their sophomore year of college and then mentored. They do an internship that includes flying for Cape Air, coming back to the school, finishing their degree, coming, flight instructing for a period of time. And then as they approach the flight times needed, they go back to Cape Air, become eventually a pilot command for them, a captain, fly for them for a period of time, a couple of years, and then become eligible to work for JetBlue Airlines. There's no guarantee of any job, but to date there's been 8 people. This project was started 5 years ago. By Cape Air with 2 institutions, University of North Dakota and Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. And 8 people have gone through the process and moved on to JetBlue. The positive thing about that is it's a directed program. It's more of a defined career path, which obviously young people actually appreciate and seek out. That major airline is the important link in those career, defined career path processes.
So in the end here, what do you see as the sort of big picture? How is this all going to play out?
Well, our study showed that there would be a potential shortfall over the next 20 years of up to 35,000 pilots for the airline industry. Now, that's based on today's market, and obviously as the dynamics of the industry and the market changes, I fully expect that forecast will change with it. For the next couple of years, the shortage is minimal. It really starts to kind of kick in year 2015 and 2016 is where the numbers start to get significantly greater in terms of deficit numbers of pilots available. And I think the industry is certainly convinced that there's a pilot shortage, at least the regional airline industry is, based on the trends that they're seeing with fewer applications and less success rate in hiring individuals. So they're moving to these defined career paths. They're moving, in the case of one, to offer a scholarship to help attract people.
Okay, well, thanks very much.
You bet. Take care.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.